This is Kieran Murphy, the founder and presenter of the Across the Four Lakes podcast. On Sunday in Carlo, Tulla won their third Provincial Towns Cup in 7 years when beating Ashbourne by a convincing 38-20. On the way to the final, they accounted for a tie, 34-5, Carlo 24-8, and Gorey beat Gorey 36-26 in the semi-final in Enniscorthy. Martin Sloag has managed the club to all their Provincial Town Cup wins, and he is here to reflect on the achievements of the club this year. We also talk about the influence of Sean O'Brien. The club has also suffered loss this year, and it was something the players talked about after the game on Sunday. So, Morris, a lot in there, a lot achieved this year. Ups and downs. At the end of the day, it was an extremely satisfying year. Would you go along with that? Obviously, it was. Look, Provincial Towns Cup win and fourth in the league, but it was that kind of a year, wasn't it?
No, it certainly was, because we came off the highs of last year and we came into the season and we had our goals set, and we were in pretty good shape. We'd beaten Beckett in the first game, and we'd doing okay. Not setting the world alight. You know, we had a few injuries, but we were on target to achieve what we wanted. Maybe we wanted to be in the top two. That's what we kind of aspired to try and get into at the beginning of the season, and then. That Saturday night or Sunday morning, I got the news that Connor had passed away. And look, it definitely hit us. We were on a break week. I think a two-week break when it happened. And look, yeah, it was just one of those things. It was just so sad. It was, you know, so unexpected. It had a huge impact on the players. We spoke about it, you know, to a degree, but I don't think anybody really ever speaks about it, because they don't know. None of us ever know, you know. We just have that, you know, maybe a bit of sense of regret that, you know, somebody could have seen something, you know, maybe they couldn't. I don't know. It was just, yeah. I remember we went in and we went and played Ashbourne kind of after 2 weeks after it happened, and the first half we were just sensational. I mean, we were running right, and then started the second half about 10 minutes in, it was somebody just let the air out of our sails and we just completely went flat. Emotionally the players were completely wrecked.
Yeah, listen, we talked about it in an earlier podcast. We didn't talk about it in an earlier podcast, and we did so deliberately, because I asked you about, did you want to mention Connor at that time? I preferred not to, but on Sunday it all came out. It really all came out, and his memory and his ghost was almost on that pitch on Sunday.
Well, look, it would have been his arena, wouldn't it? I mean, yeah. You know, he was such a charismatic guy, and he was a fantastic player. I mean, I've clipped the video, and I'm going to give it to his dad and his mom on his season that he played for us. And I mean, you know, when you clip his video and you watch his movements, he's phenomenal. You don't realize until you actually start studying him. He was just an incredible player that could identify where space was, and he had that free role for us, so he could pop up any place he wanted. And I mean, some of the stuff that he did were incredible. And we scored a try against Carlo it was against Carlo, wasn't it? He made a break. It was in the league. He made a break down the middle, threw a pass to Jack Hanlon, right? It was a 25-yard pass without breaking stride. And that had happened in the Six Nation game the day before, but he had a habit apparently of saying, you know, I'm going to do that tomorrow. And that's what he did. He went out and made a break up the middle. And that's the kind of player he was. And there's something as well, right? He spoke to everybody. He'd speak to the referee before the game. He'd be speaking to Cora Brown and people of that generation. He'd be talking to young people. He was just such a good guy.
Okay, and listen, Scott Colbeck, the captain, alluded to, talked about John Brown as well, another club stalwart who also passed away recently.
Yeah.
a huge figure in the club as well, and somebody who was badly missed on the sideline because he always had a word for everybody. He did the sideline in every match, and but he always had a chat and a talk, and he could take the swings and the roundabouts when he was being slagged, and he could give it as well. So, look,
Yeah.
a great guy.
Yeah, well, here's one for you. So when obviously, as we've spoken about before, when I was planning on leaving that time, John sent me a lovely email, thanking me, for what for what we'd achieved in the club and everything else. And he was that kind of person, for kind of private. So, he would send you text messages and emails, and again, it was for the love of the club. He was a Tullamore man through and through, the same as all his family are, and how proud they are of their role, as there are many other families in the club.
Yeah. Listen, you did mention it there. You talked about leaving 2 years ago. You talked to me about it as well. You said you were going. I had a big scoop. Morris Long was leaving Tullow. You didn't go. 2 towns comes later, and you were saying to me on Sunday, I'm glad I didn't go. What changed your
Yeah.
mind?
Look, I as we've spoken about previously, we came out of COVID. Obviously, Ger O'Brien had passed away, and I was close to Ger. He was a really good guy. He was part of the coaching setup when we won the first Towns Cup, and then COVID had a massive effect on us. I mean, at that stage, we had 12 guys training, 14 guys training. I remember we went into a kind of final straw for me. We were going into a game against Carlow, actually, and we needed to stay up. Carlow needed to stay in the top three, I think, or maybe they were fourth, going for three and a fighting chance to get to second. And the level of commitment I felt wasn't there. Those guys unavailable. Will Hollow ended up playing on the wing that day and did incredibly well for us. I think he scored two tries. He definitely scored one anyway down the
Yeah.
bottom corner, left-hand corner, playing towards the arch. And anyway, I just felt that my time had come, that we'd run out of rope with the lads. The messages weren't getting through. We weren't, they weren't, our standards had dropped off. We weren't training as much as we should have been. And yeah, we went on and played the cup then, and we got beaten by Dundalk. We were 21-10 up, I think, and conceded three scores in 10 minutes to lose that game. And we barely got over a New Ross team as well. New Ross are a difficult team to play down there. And yeah, I just felt it was my time. And then Sean was talking about retiring and coming back and playing. And obviously, I got on reasonably well with Sean, and so he asked me if I'd stay on. And yeah, I did. And yeah, I did. And like I said to you then, we went and won the Towns Cup. And from there, I mean, at the moment, last weekend, we put out 65 players last weekend between first, seconds, and thirds. To go from
Are
where we
you're
were.
not including the ladies in that? I know, look, there's a little bit
No,
of
no,
ladies,
no, no.
they're
Yeah.
both sections are very, very powerful sections in the club.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, again, you look at that. I think I would have done some training sessions with the women about 3 years ago before Paul got involved. It was around COVID. Again, they were like us. They were getting 10 and 12 by Gareth's training. And Pauling came in. He's elevated it to, an incredible standard. Every night you see them training. Now we see them training on a Friday night, and they have 20 plus players there on a consistent basis, and you can see it. I mean, that's why they're getting the results they have and achieved the AIL success as well, or promotion rather. And he's done a fantastic job. He really has. And I think well, it's I think the Canavans always have good rugby knowledge, and I it's down to temperament, and Paul has that temperament,
Yeah, oh, he has, yeah. Listen, go back to last Sunday now. I felt Louis Kilcoyne hit something. He did an interview with me for the Nationalist,
Yeah.
and I just felt that he talked about Ashburn and he built them up, and he talked about the respect Tullow had for Ashburn and what Ashburn had achieved in the last couple of years. Like, they've been in the Towns Cup final. They've won the All-Ireland Junior League,
So,
if I'm right. If it's, they've certainly won the
yeah.
Leinster Junior League.
They won the Leinster Junior, and they won three junior cups.
Yeah, okay. So he absolutely hit the nail on the head And if there was any sense of complacency in your side, Louis would have got rid of it there and then. And I felt
Yeah,
as
no,
I went
definitely.
into the dashboard, hitting the ground running, and huge respect for the County Meath side.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, look, Tullow have been that team, and look, we were favourites going into the game, by everybody bar us. And what I mean by that is, obviously, we had just to make sure we concentrated and took care of our stuff, and what people were saying outside that meant very little, because we did. It was referenced that in a final, there are only winners and losers. There's no favourites, and Tullow have been that team. I mean, Tullow have, beat a Kildare team that won the Leinster League and went on to narrowly get deprived of getting AIL status, and I think they got beaten by they beat Kildare and Port Arrington in a semi-final. So and then last year you look at us. Ashburn came down, or not Ashburn, but Boyne came down to us. They were Division 1A, and we turned them over. And then Kilkenny got relegated last year, and we were going up. And a couple of minutes later, there was huge pressure on us in that last minute of that game. So, cup finals are cup finals, and there are no, I don't know, there are no favourites, and a lot of things have to go your way. So, look, we trained and we prepped the exact same way. We did all our video work and everything else on them, and we showed them the respect that we needed that, because we wanted to achieve something special, and very few teams have done back-to-back Towns Cups. Yeah, I think we're the third team, third or fourth team to have done it. So that would have been our goal to do that.
Carlo and Navan come to mind as two
Yeah,
sides to retain the cup.
Carlow, Navan, believe it or not, Dundalk,
Okay,
and Skerry have done it. And
gotcha.
Skerry, yeah. So the two most successful teams, I think, in it at the moment are Skerry's and Carlow,
That's right, yeah.
with their Towns Cup wins. So, look, if we wanted it, Aho said it. If we wanted to be a great team, we backed it up. The last time we were there, we lost to Enniscorthy and Wicklow,
That's
and
right.
that was our driving
Okay.
motivation. It was solely focused on us, and that's the best
You
respect
shouldn't
we
beat
have.
yourselves up over that particular loss. And Louis referred to it as well. Like, that was a hugely superb Enniscorthy team. And I thought even that day to get as near to them as you did was an achievement in itself.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday, Sean and myself. We were sitting at the bar talking about it, and their first try came off a line-out play that we had actually rehearsed defending. And one of the boys missed his detail, and they scored. So that was a
Brilliant.
bit of a big a bear bug, because look, they started off. I mean, they were Division 1A team. The tempo they played at that day in that first 20 minutes blew us out of the water. And we were hanging on. Then Scott scored a try next to the post at the bottom end of Wicklow. Yeah, and it kind of gave us a bit of, I don't know, about breathing space. It certainly allowed us to inhale anyway some oxygen. And then the game just became stalemate. And we look, we had an opportunity at the end where we put pressure. Maybe they took their foot off. Maybe they thought they had won after 20 minutes, and we got back into it. And like you said, I think we were only scored 5 points. Did we lose by 5 points in that game?
7 points or something, 20, was it
Yeah.
2013 or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah. So we were willing to score them, and we had a big scrum, and I think they brought Angelo on, and he kind of turned us over. And from our side, there's a debate. It was a poor refereeing decision. From their side, it was a great call. So look,
Listen,
they're the moments.
on Sunday you hit the ground running 14-0, you're up. And
Yeah.
there was a little incident, I think. Ryan O'Neill was involved in something there, and then there looked like a deliberate knock-on, but I think the referee came back to have a chat with Ryan O'Neill, and instead of going three tries up, you lost the momentum. And the funny thing about that game was that I think it was only in the last couple of minutes and a half that Ashburn actually got into your own 22, and when they did get in, you were lucky to only concede a penalty.
Yeah, look, that incident actually. There was a deliberate knock on from their guy. The referee and the touch judge missed it, and
I thought he came back to have a chat with Ryan O'Neill about something.
he did, because somebody said something about him blowing the whistle,
Afterwards. Okay, yeah.
and he thought it was Ryan that had said it, right? And I don't think it was, believe it or not. So, and for a change, Ryan kept his cool and said nothing and took the brunt of it. But that was that scrum was for us was a poor moment because we felt that if we'd scored there, we could have certainly put one nail in their coffin, and we missed that opportunity. And like you said, didn't they? I suppose they. A bit like in the Enniscorthy thing a couple of years ago, they got a bit of momentum. They've big ball carriers. They carried hard, and they made some inroads into our defence. They got down inside, and like you're dead right, they should have possibly scored a try, but you know, we gave away a penalty in the last play of the game. Actually, sorry, that was wrong. We turned them over, and Gareth passed the ball to Aho, and Aho got turned over, and
That's
that's what
right.
led
That's
to
right,
the
Jeff. Yeah.
and we should have cleared the line because we were in injury time at that stage. All we had to do was set it and play it off the field, and we would have gone in 14-0. But anyway, they went through phases, and we did. We were smart enough to actually kill the ball because they went for a crossfield kick, and we turned them over at the edge with Jack Hanlon and Aka, and then yeah, they had the penalty, and they kicked it, and that was 14-3. And I won't lie to you, I was relieved that they had just taken 3 points, and I would have been happy with that going into half time.
Yeah.
And obviously, we had a great half time speech about not conceding early, and we would hold out that first 10 minutes and really frustrate them, and then they would go and score after 3.5, 4 minutes. So
Yeah,
that put them
a quick
off.
break by their out half and 7 points, and suddenly you're 14-10. And I said to the fellow
14-10.
beside me, it's the same as Kilkenny last year, isn't it? That would, as
Yeah.
it turned out, it wasn't, but for a spell it looked as if it was. You were going to make life difficult for yourselves.
Yeah. I think for them, it's a very nutritional game that they play. They use their forwards a lot, and they crash them, and they do make yards, but they weren't making great inroads, but they were expending a lot of energy. And at some stage, it was going to tell. And then our bench came off. You know, Joe Waters, Paddy.
Corey Hughes.
Corey Hughes,
Yeah, they came on later. I think they were on 70 minutes. You brought
yeah,
on somebody on after 60 minutes.
Joe came on after 60
That's
on the
right,
60th
yeah.
minute, and they turned the tide for us. They really did. Look, they did exactly what they were required to do, which was bring energy when we needed it, and they just pushed us on. And then we obviously scored those 10 points, two tries late on in the game.
Yeah, I was talking to Joe afterwards. I said, "Joe, you came in there and you made a few ball carries." And he looks at me and he says, "I love carrying the ball." He says, You know, Joe, big larger than life character,
Yeah.
fellow with two senior hurling championship medals in Carlow, football medals in Carlow. He's just a great guy, and I think the guys all rally around him as well.
Well, he's very motivational. He's inspirational in terms of, I've said this to you before, you know, the way what he's done with himself, and he's very good around the group. And that restart, the one that it didn't quite go 10, but if that ball had hit the ground, it would have gone 10, and he caught it over his head, and they pulled him down. I mean, that was. You know, that should have been on the field next door in Dr. Cullen Park, right? It was an incredible take. And then, yeah, obviously, and that's what we want. You win that restart, you get out of there, and you apply pressure.
Yeah, I thought Corey's influence when he came in as well. The first thing he had to do, he's a funny guy, Corey. He was in school and college in Carlow, and he was in
Yeah.
Kildare. He came to Tullow and has never left. And that's a good few years now. But
He
he gets this ball
years.
and he has a line out. He's handed the ball
Yeah.
for a line out on his introduction straight away, no chance to warm up. And he nails, was it Sean O'Brien he nailed?
At the tail of the lineup, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, massive sort of. I'm here to do a job, and he talked about maybe only playing 5 to 10 minutes, but that he actually loves Tullow.
He played obviously with injury time. He played for 15 minutes or so, and Bucko as well. Brian Bucko was brilliant when he came on. Our scrum as well started dominating
Who's
theirs.
Bucko?
Brian Keogh.
Break your okay, of course, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. So yeah, Brian came on and Corey came on, and that was the idea to send the three boys on at the same time, lift their energy levels and be able to go after them. And again, every one of them, you know, had a huge influence on the game, and more than what they had in against Gorey, because I think Gorey we were more on the back foot and it was wind affected and we were defending, and people only view what they do in attack really when they come off the bench, and that's not really a true reflection of what they do, you know.
Yeah, listen, you pull away at the end, you share a try each, and then you get two, and you see
Yeah.
fellas like, what's his name, Martin Cole diving in the far corner on the right-hand
Yeah.
side. Kind of so a bit of showboating at that stage, I suppose that that's understandable as well. You're finally broken Ashburn. A tremendous moment as well for Martin to score a second try and to do what he did in the corner.
Yeah, I think Tom Crawley's bringing a bucket of sand to fill in the hole down there after he dived in the corner, you
You
know.
talk about a swan dive. Funny enough, he mentioned Connor as well in the swan dive. He said he sort of that was on his mind as well, so.
I didn't know that. Any excuse.
No.
Yeah, look, it was very fitting. Sean peeled around the corner into the space and then passed the ball to
That's
Martin.
right.
Martin
That's right. Yeah.
on a 1-on-1 with a poor winger, and he dies over in the corner. And again, look, Martin Cole has been phenomenal. You see him and you think, Jesus, this guy's not going to last the whole game. He just takes some punishment. I mean, for a big man, he just works his socks off continuously.
Yeah, Cillian Murphy got the man of the match, but it could have gone to Steve Smith. It could have gone to Sean O'Brien as well. Sean is after having a tremendous last three games. There were so many players who put their hands up for that man of the match, and Martin Cole. The fact that he got the two tries, nobody would have said boo if he had got it as well. But
And Oran as well, Oran Farrell,
yeah,
in
he
the
had come in and
centre.
out.
Yeah, and Ryan O'Neill had a fantastic game at nine. He was incredible. I thought he was in the top four competitors on the field on Sunday. I mean, some of his tackling around the base and his tenacity was just incredible, you know. And again, I think, you know, look, he's from last year where he wasn't on the team. He was on the bench, and I remember having a chat with him, and you know, and I really wanted him to stay on. No, I don't know if he was going to leave or not, but we had 1-to-1, and we were talking, and I've a decent enough relationship with Ryan, and you know, I just said to him the other day how proud I was of him, like, you know, and what a difference of a year makes. I mean, he came off the bench last year and he started at nine this year and it was superb for us, you know.
Yeah, you've got
So
five. He's one of the guys. Is he one of the guys with 3,000 cup medals?
he's three
Joe
times
Waters,
cup,
Steve Smith, Martin Cole. Who's the fifth?
and Ryan O'Neill.
Right. Yeah. Is it Ryan? Yeah. I thought there was one more. I think of it afterwards, but it's too late.
You've got Scott Colbeck.
Scott, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got Scott Colbeck, you have Joe Waters, Martin Cole,
Steve Smith.
Steve Smith, and Ryan O'Neill.
Yeah. Good man, good man.
And
Well done.
they're the five.
Listen, Sean O'Brien, I vexed him there during the year at one stage. He was playing in the centre or something, and I knew he was heading off at half time to coach Leinster, and he tried to go down on this ball on the centre of the field and wasn't able to go down for it, and they kicked through and scored under the post. And I put a comment in the paper that I was thought possibly the great man was taking on too much. And apparently the next home game that I was there, the next minute Sean comes over and he says to me, "You don't know what you're talking about. You haven't got your facts, I only played for Nace once." And he says, "I am after vexing this fella here." But look, he's after, I know he was, and he told me on Sunday, he referred to it on Sunday that he was, not that incident, but just that he was filling in at 10, he was filling in at 12, he was filling in the pack. Like at that stage, he had a lot of injury worries, a lot of injury worries. You had injuries, and he was filling in.
He was filling in.
But in the last three cup games, he's been absolutely phenomenal.
His first game back in at six was a tie,
In the
and
cup.
or in the cup, and our
Wow,
line
I
out,
didn't realize that. Yeah.
and our line out functioned incredibly well with him there, and our line out has been good since. You know, we've had a few moments, you know, but it's been consistently good. Where up to that, it had been sporadic at best, you know. And yeah, look, again, Sean's skill set, we could move him around a little bit, and that's a detriment of his game, not to the benefit of, you know, that it wouldn't have benefited him what we were doing, but for the good of the team, he was doing it. And again, he doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. He's strong character, obviously, and yeah, he was willing to fill in there. And look, I wouldn't know, but I well, obviously, Sean, he comes across that he wouldn't be any way sensitive, and he would think. But I think he'd be disappointed if people didn't think he was doing what he said he would do, and which was come back and
Oh, I
play for
wasn't saying, I
no
just said
reason
he was taking
whatsoever.
on too
No,
much.
I'm not. I'm not saying that, but on the outside, and there was a couple of games where people, they have this expectation of how good he is. He's going to be roaming the field. He's going to be destroying people and everything else. And he was playing that playmaker role in the back line. And sometimes he was very good, and sometimes it didn't work out for him. And from maybe guys around him, or even just a couple of decisions that he made bad himself. And people judge him on those things. It's Steve Smith's the same way. Steve Smith has been absolutely brilliant for us this year, and people judge him at a different standard to other people. So they don't always get the recognition that they probably they should get.
My great game could be a their kind of average game or something like that, yeah, because of the standards
Yeah.
they set.
Yeah, they would want, like you said, Stephen Smith was brilliant for us on Sunday. He really was. But to most people wouldn't mention him. And because he would have to be exceptional. He would have had to play exceptionally well, right? And be way above everybody else for him to get man of the match. I think Sean falls obviously into the same category.
Absolutely, yeah, without a doubt,
Yeah.
And come here, listen, yourself and Sean, you're not the kind of fella that sort of, you're looking for attention as a coach. You're doing it for the greater good. Some people, some coaches, because of the ego they have, they could feel that if I'm bringing in Sean O'Brien, he's going to get the kudos, and I'm going to be ignored. That's not Maurice Logue. Maurice
It
Logue
is.
is for the
No,
greater
it's
good
not.
of Tullow. Couldn't be more emphatic about that. Maurice Logue is for Tullow or whoever he coaches, whoever he's involved with. He wants to give 100%. And if it means bringing in somebody like Sean O'Brien to improve the situation, Sean O'Brien comes in or whoever it is. And that's
Yeah,
what
no,
I'm right, aren't
and
I? I'm
yeah, 100%. I mean, Sean's been there for all three Towns Cup wins and the one last as well. And
yeah, we forget about that as well.
I mean, I'll tell you a perfect thing, right? So when Sean played against the All Blacks on a Saturday, and I was sitting down with Sean getting a bite to eat with him on the Tuesday, and we were planning for what we were going to be doing on the Saturday or the Sunday then with Tullow. He or was it? Yeah, it was. Sorry, it was Wednesday night. He was out of camp. But I look, Sean has always been there. I've obviously great respect for him. I would have known him, modestly before I went to Tullow, and got to know him a lot more since. And yeah, look, for me, success. Like I define success strangely, and that success for me is the way we develop the team, the way the players interact with each other, the way they represent the club, and when I think winning trophies is a byproduct of that. If you get all the other stuff right, you will be, in most people's eyes, successful when you start winning stuff. And I mean, Sean has brought stuff in. We had a system that we played. Sean made a few tweaks to it. We had a few arguments about it. Look, it's for the greater good. And like I said, even for me, I mean, he's at the cutting edge. I mean, he's in the best club team in the world, or one of the best club teams in the world. They have, international coaches coming in, Jack Neymar and people like this, and he's going to be picking up information on how else would you do that,
Yeah, listen, the ladies, they kicked off at 11:30 on Sunday
Yeah.
morning. They've been beaten in the Paul Flood Cup final the week before at the same venue in Balbriggan. I
Yeah.
thought they were up against it, and they came around to beat Queen's University 22-10 to qualify for the All-Ireland League. Maurice, you're a senior club now,
We are
and
senior,
huge
yeah.
achievement by the ladies to ensure that that happened last Sunday. And they were back for the celebrations and back for the game on Sunday evening. Your game, there was pictures with them. It was some wonderful moments.
Yeah, and it's again, that's what the club is built on. And again, going back to, Cora Brown would have been one of the founders, I think, of that women's team. With Gerard Brown would have done an awful lot of work with the underage. And I would, if I'm calculating it properly, in the time that he passed away with Gerard's daughter, and that they would be in around that senior team now. So those numbers are coming true because of the work that has been done with the underage. Paul has brought them on. Aho was involved with them for a while, but certainly in the last couple of years, Paul and Jack Rogers have done a terrific job with the girls and prepared them. I mean, look, I suppose the only disappointment is they lost their Paul Flood Cup, and Again, I can only think that a lot of that, they had a poor performance by all accounts up in Balbriggan against Barnhall. And it's a little bit like us where you want to win, but the mind is set on something greater. And I presume that AIL qualification would be greater than winning a Paul Flood Cup right now in terms of they've won, what, I think five of the last six or something like that. So getting to AIL is a huge achievement for both the club and the girls.
Yeah, manager Paul Canavan there did say to me, all right, that they learned from the defeat the previous week that they had given too much respect to the opposition. And right, while you do respect the opposition, this time they focused on themselves and what they had to do and what they had to do right to beat Queens, and it worked.
Yeah, certainly did. I mean, they won quite well in the end. And to qualify for any major competition is huge. And if you take it, we're a small club in a rural area, and with the girls coming, collectively again together and achieving what they did in Balbriggan and achieving what they've done to put themselves in that position in the first place has been absolutely massive. But it's not done just on this year. It's been done on the last number of years because they've been slowly building and the numbers have been getting greater. And look, hopefully they could get some girls back now for that are playing in Dublin, and that will boost them and make them really competitive in that division next year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the future and what's for Morris Grove now, but I think that's for another day. I think you should just go out and enjoy what you've achieved, what the club has achieved. And listen, thanks very much for coming on the podcast. And as I said, enjoy the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, look, Kieran, thank you for all your support as well. You're over at all our home games and our away games, and it's fantastic to see you, and you're representing and write nice articles on the club and keeps a profile on rugby in the county. So look, thank you so much, and I've please God I'll talk to you next year.
Yeah, as I say, it's not a job when you do something you love. And I appreciate the kind words, Boris. Thanks.
You do it very well. So look, thank you.